Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Health and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. We are live on Sedona Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio, and we are also archived on iTunes. So please feel free, if you're not able to listen to the whole show, you can always click back on this link, and it will be archived somewhere. We're always out there. So thank you so much for being with us today. We have a great topic. We're going to be talking about your brain and about being smart, how you think, how you study. You know, I really think this is a topic for all ages. A lot of grandparents now are taking care of their younger children and babysitting them and helping them with their homework. And the world, we say, oh, the kids really know about it. You know, they're doing this electronics now. I don't understand it. I just have to let them do it on their own. Parents, some parents may not have gone to college. Some may not have finished high school. You know, and they have children now, and they're saying, they know best, let the kids do it at their own rate. You know, they'll get it, they'll do it. Still then, we also have parents who are saying, my kids are perfect, they know everything, and the poor children are struggling. And you know what, I really think about the brain, you have to think that it's plastic, you know. We always have to talk about the plasticity of our brain. You can always exercise it. You can always change your mind. You can always have different things go on in your head. Hey, if you're a grandparent and you don't know how to use electronics, maybe you can have that really smart grandchild teach you how to use electronics, and you in turn could teach the child how to write cursive. Did you know that many schools don't even teach that anymore? I'm appalled by that. I simply don't understand that. I don't know how they're going to do their signature. Just to me, it's like, my gosh, that part of your brain's going to go away, you know? Are they even going to kick out crayons soon? I'm waiting for that one. So my guest today is Renee Moulin Masters, and she wrote a book. It's called You Are Smarter Than You Think, Using Your Brain the Way It Was Designed. And it's really important because, you know, I can remember going to school. My goodness, I have, I think it's 13 years now of college, you know. And we turn around and we say, oh, gosh, but you must be so smart. No, all that stuff went in. And it, depending upon the way that I used it or didn't use it afterwards, it's going to decide whether I've retained it or not. And along will come a nice stressful event. Let's call it Hurricane Katrina we were in. And I think I must have had a brain purge. I'm not kidding, because I don't remember half of this stuff. So how do we really put into our brain what's important? How do we get it in there? How do we reframe it so that it has actually based upon your experience instead of just, hey, I'm going to memorize it, I'm good to go. Oh, yeah, I learned that in third grade, but I still can't remember it. Well, I guess maybe you don't need it. So, I don't know, all these things about the brain and how smart we are or not smart we are. Renee's got a lot of tips on that. So, Renee, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, I'm really happy to be here. I really am.
So don't you think that all of that I just went on, life is so changed? I mean, where we're coming, where we're going, who knows?
Well, you know, the thing you brought up that I think is really important that people miss, and that is that there's a big difference between memorizing and learning. When I mention that to kids in college, they look at me like I'm from outer space.
Yeah.
And it is a huge difference. And learning, when you learn something, there is literally a chemical reaction that happens in the brain, and it changes. And when you learn something, you can think outside the box, you can come up with a new thought, and that action is not happening in the educational system anywhere right now because we are focused on memorizing and using our brain incorrectly.
You know, I can remember, I show my age here, I'm almost 60, but I will remember when the jingles used to come on TV and when TV was new and all the kids would know the jingles. You know, probably today you could find any 60 or 70-year-old and they could sing you about at least 20 jingles right offhand, you know. And we think, well, how did those stick in their brain? You know, it's because they heard them, they resonated with them, they bought the products, they knew the music, they saw their labels and their trademarks in different places. So it was more of an experience in which they learned that object. And when I was
also,
a medical... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Well, what
you
I'm
know,
thinking.
And...
Go ahead. You go.
You know, and it was funny because in medical school, we would have, like, so much information we had to learn. I found it overwhelming, and that's when most kids, you know, bomb out. And I was learning it in my 40s, and they would say, oh, just, you know, figure out, create a word, and then just take that word and say, okay, well, what is a certain part of the heart? And you would have a word for it, and each one of those letters would mean something, and you'd just have to remember that word. But if anybody interrupted you in the middle of the word or in the middle of what you were spilling out repetitive, you wouldn't even know what you were saying, you know?
Exactly. And the truth is, what you're talking about is that when people remember jingles, not everybody remembers jingles. That's the mistake we all make. We think just because we do it, everybody does it. Teachers think because they had a good class and everybody was excited, everybody learned. Not true.
Right.
You can't possibly meet the needs of everybody. Everybody's brain functions differently. Brains are more different than fingerprints. And if you use the brain correctly, if you happen to be musical, you can use jingles to learn, and it will go into long-term memory. And
right.
And the way, and, you know, this is probably not very medical, but it's the way I see it and experience it. It's like we have these brain talents, and they're like 8-lane freeways that go into the brain. And when a piece of information comes in and that 8-lane freeway is being stimulated in some way, it hops onto that neural pathway and goes into long-term memory almost instantly. And everyone's had that experience where they've learned something instantly and they didn't have to do anything to learn it. Whereas what most people do is they go over, you know, they go over it and over it and over it and over it, trying to memorize it, which doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, you know, and like I said, you know, when stressful event came, you know, we had Hurricane Katrina, and I really feel like I had a lack of a better word. I've really had a brain fart. I'm telling you, half of my brain is gone somewhere else. I can't remember 98% of the stuff that I probably put in there over, you know, all those 13 years of college and all those degrees. But, you know, I can pick up and close my eyes and I can guide you through certain things, or I can say I can see it in my mind, or I can say, you know, when I touch Jell-O, I think of, oh, that was open heart surgery, or I can think of when I run my finger across something that's rough on paint and I say, ooh, that reminds me of something on someone's teeth. You know, I've got those relationships. It's just that those have been there. They just didn't need to always have the same labels that we memorize them with.
Right. And when you're obviously an experiential learner. And so those memories are there, and that's how you access it. That's how you learned it. And it hasn't disappeared. It's there. But I think that as stress, when stress is layered on top of anything, from what I know about stress, it makes things don't work as well. Stress is it gets in the way of how things work. And I can imagine how Katrina was stressful.
Right.
I watched it. You know, it must have been just horrific. And
and when people even say to you, you know, what are you thinking about, you know, what's going on, or tell me about it. And you say, you know, I can't tell you what I had for lunch, you know. I really don't find it that important anymore. And I really working a lot with the, you know, now that I am over the age of 50, all of us, we start to think, oh, goodness, someone asked me the question at my doctor's office, well, what did you have for breakfast? Because they're trying to assess your dementia level, you know, or your Alzheimer's risk or whatever. And I'll say, you know, I don't know. And then they put this little note on your chart, ask her again next time. And if she doesn't know, then we have to do this kind and this kind of test. When what you really want to say is, doesn't make a damn bit of difference what I have for breakfast. Why are you asking me? You know?
Well,
and because
you know,
it isn't
in another
important.
Way of, it's not important. It's probably not important. And the truth is,
yeah.
Our lives are so busy. They are so
right.
Busy. We distract ourselves with so many things that very few of us are really in the moment when we are eating a meal. And there is no way to remember what you have had if you're not with it. And it's and most of us are not. We're watching TV, we're reading a book, we're thinking about something. You know, our brains are all over the place. And so it makes makes it difficult. But I want to, you know, let's talk about this brain. This brain is the most amazing thing. When we're you can focus on how fabulous it is if you look at how you how much you learned before you were 5 years old.
Right.
You learned a massive amount of material. Massive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because this computer that you have is unbelievable. And most of us, after we left childhood and we entered school at about age 5, we abandon ourselves. We just flat out abandon who we are. The reason we learn really well as little kids is most of the time our parents let us gravitate to what it is that we want to learn and how we want to learn it. And we use our brain the way it was designed. But when we hit school, all of a sudden the rules change. And for two-thirds of us, we basically have to abandon who we are because that's not the way it's coming at us. And
right.
So we end up misusing this amazing computer that we have on top of our head, and we struggle more than we should.
And I think so, too, that, you know, we are looking at things differently now. You know, the example that I had used about the elderly assessing, you know, for dementia, that is an old type of way of doing it. You know, maybe they need to look at that a different way, just as you have looked at, you know, helping kids with school. This is not, I think that your book, while it may be similarly focused, you know, for the younger age, I really see it as someone with the elderly too, because they'll say, gosh, you know, that kind of like lets me off the hook. I don't have to worry about trying to fit into that box anymore. I can do it the way I was trained or the way I thought or the way I experienced before, and that's really important. I know when myself I read the book, you know, cover to cover, which I always do for every guest, it was so funny. I took the kind of test, and there was this one section, it was called logical, and I had a zero score, and I go, ooh, logical, zero. That mustn't be too good. You know, there goes my part of my brain saying, I'm not doing things logically. I'm not doing it the correct way. I must be doing something wrong, blah, 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 you know? And then when I read it further, it was like, yeah, that's what I do. You know, I kind of put a word in the middle, and I'll kind of radiate out all my ideas around it, which was spatial if I had just read down a little bit farther. But, hey, I got so focused on that zero that I was stuck.
Yes, and we do. We focus on the gifts we don't have instead of focusing
right.
on the gifts that we do have. And in my program, which is called You're Smarter Than You Think, you take two self-evaluations that allow you to figure out where your brain talents are. And we make you focus on where your strengths are, and we forget about your weaknesses.
Right.
And then what we do is we then show you how to take those brain talents and apply them to a variety of academic situations, because you can transform any situation, no matter how it's coming at you. You can transform it so that it works for your brain.
And you know, it was interesting. You had said in the beginning of the show about using this program in local colleges and schools. I live here in New Orleans, and you had said it was great at one college. And I'm thinking back to that. You know, the people in this town, while they might not seem like they can always memorize everything, but music was the focus of their life. It's been the focus of, it's a tradition in this area. That's what you grow up with. That's what you're born into. And to be able to say with your program, you know, that there's other ways of learning, let's look at these different ways, that seriously is a great asset to people learning.
Absolutely. It's like, it's not a one-note song. You know, these
right.
brains have, they're multidimensional. And the fact that you got a zero in logical, it doesn't mean that you're not logical. It just doesn't mean that. It just means that that's not one of your strengths. and you have other strengths that are better to rely on when you're trying to learn something. And
right.
and that's all it says. And it's like, you know, most of us are just kind of guessing at how we function. You know, we just kind of go through life guessing. And I remember when I was in school, you know, on one in one class I would get an A, and in another class I would get a C, and I would do exactly the same thing. It just made me crazy. I mean, this one story that I tell, and it's a true story. When I was in second grade, my very best friend got moved to third grade because they thought she was smarter than the rest of us. Then we end up in a college class, our freshman college class in botany, that is taught experientially. So if we were talking about a pine cone, you have a pine mm-hmm. cone in your hand. And I'm an experiential learner. So we take the test. I get the highest grade in the class. I get an A. And I talk to her after class and ask her what she got, and she got a C. And I ask her, did you study? And she said, yes. And I'm standing here scratching my head thinking, how did this happen?
Right.
How did this happen? I have been thinking that I was stupid. And all of a sudden I get an A, and I get an A where this person who's supposed to be smarter than I am gets a C. How do you explain that?
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at a classroom of kids, just like everyone says, everybody's an individual, yet they're not taught as being individuals. You're taught, as we would always call, the herd effect. You know, let's throw something at them and see what sticks, and that's what goes. And that's the way I think schools have always been, you know, teaching kids.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with the herd effect. There is no way for an instructor to possibly meet the needs of every mm-hmm. student. But darn it, let's empower the student. Let's throw the power to the student
right.
and help them learn how they learn so that they can be responsible for that and they can control their own destiny. They can get the A or they can get the F based on their own effort. And they can know that it was their effort that created it, not what the teacher did.
Yeah. And I think the most important thing about your book is it provides a toolkit. And, you know, because I think we all need toolkits to be able to stand up and say, you know what, I can't see it that way, so let me look into my toolkit and figure out a different way to be able to visualize it or be able to experience it, you know, because that's so vitally important, just to have some of these toolkits when you get really stuck, when it really counts. So can you tell us about your book, about how those toolkits, what they're about, how others can learn, you know, change the way they look at learning?
Well, we have a book, and we also have an online training that goes with the book that I teach, and it's full of games, and it's interactive, and it's very experiential. And what it does is that it helps the individual uncover the way their brain works. It shows them their brain talents. And most
mm-hmm.
people don't know what that is. They haven't a clue as to
right.
what their brain talents are. And then we show you how to use them. Use those brain
right.
talents. And you can, once you know your brain talent, you can change any way information is coming at you. If it's in a book and you're not terribly linguistic, you can take that information that's coming at you and you can change it so that it's much easier for you to understand.
So really the
question?
First step is to find out about how your brain works, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the first step. It's like, you know, yeah, you got to know if you're going to drive a car, you got to figure out, does this car need gas or does it need diesel?
Yeah.
Or does it need electricity? You got to know one of those things if you're going to drive a car, okay? Well, it's the same with your brain. If you're going to learn, if you're going to study, if you're going to go to school, for heaven's sakes, You need to know how to use your brain. And most people have to realize that they have abandoned themselves. They didn't know that they did it, but they have abandoned themselves when they got into the educational system, two-thirds of the population. And the way that school is coming at you does not line up with how your brain functions. That's the truth.
And don't you think also, too, now I'm looking back on history, I think really history is making a lot of changes, because I don't think we could have been talking about your book probably 30 years ago. People wouldn't have gotten it. But if we look back at our ancestors, I know with my grandparents, so that would have been 30s and 40s, if they wanted to do something and it broke, they had to figure out how to put it back together. Or if they wanted to make something and it wasn't available, they had to figure out how to make it. Whereas now, we're pretty much given everything, and we just take it, use it, abuse it, throw it away, and get another one when it doesn't work or whatever. So we really haven't used some of those skills in life. So how can some kids may have missed out on those skills that they may already have, so they really can't apply it in other areas of their life.
Exactly.
It's sort of like,
exactly.
You know, we look back at our grandparents and we say, my goodness, my grandmother didn't drive. Well, your grandmother didn't drive because your grandmother couldn't figure out how to get from A to B. But your grandfather drove because he could figure it out. Whereas now everybody gets a driver's license and you wonder why he has such bad drivers on the road. It's because everybody just gets one, you know. You know, and that's probably the truth of the matter. So when you really figure out how your brain works, you can say, oh, now I can figure something else out and make a game plan from here. So I don't think this book is just really for a certain age group. I really find it's really for everyone that might be struggling with something. Can't figure out why you can't get a better job in your area when you say, well, why do they not understand me? I'm giving it to them. Well, maybe that job that you want in that other area requires that you use a different part of your brain that you didn't figure out you actually had. So maybe you just have to rephrase the words in which you're using. So really it's all about learning different things.
Exactly. But it's also about getting you in touch with your true self. And most
right.
of us, you know, we're so disconnected from ourselves, we go after jobs that we would be terrible at.
Right.
And you know, and it's like reconnecting yourself with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find out how your brain works, that's one step in doing that, in reconnecting. And when you've reconnected, life is a whole lot easier. You're not walking
yeah.
into walls. It
yeah.
just does a lot easier.
And I think that's when a lot of people are saying, I went to school for something. I did a job for a while and they hated it. But now I'm going to figure out how to put all of those skills and that education and that experience of that rotten job, and I'm going to now create the job I want. So really, it's a lifelong process. So I think, you know, can we talk about in your book, let's see, you take your learning summary and you start figuring out how your brain works. Can you tell us the different types, just a general idea of different types
mm-hmm.
of brain working, as we would call it?
Okay. The seven types that we look at, plus we have three other pieces talking, and I'll talk about that, come from Dr. Howard Gardner, and he had a book, he has several books, but it came from his book called Frames of Mind. And there's these seven areas that we look at. The first one is linguistic, and people that are linguistic really like words, very specific words. The next one is logical. And these people like things to be first this happened, then this happened, and then this happened. The third
mm-hmm.
is spatial. And spatial people are artistic. They like maps. They like simplicity. Most linguistic books are too complex. They need to simplify them to really understand them. The next brain talent is musical. Now, you don't necessarily have to play an instrument. You can just be somebody that really loves and connects into music, and you can use that to learn with. Body kinesthetic is movement. These people have difficult time sitting still. talented in knowing self. These individuals, when they were kids, knew exactly what they wanted to wear, what they wanted to eat, where they wanted to go. And their parents may not have allowed them to follow through, but they at least knew it. And that's those people are experiential learners, and I'll explain what that is in a minute. And then talented in knowing others, those are the people that were the actors, the ones that were the mediators in fights, between kids that were fighting, that kind of thing. And they could tell whether or not somebody was safe or not safe. And they, too, are experiential. And an experiential learner, if you had to change the spark plugs in a car, you would rather not read a manual. Manuals are out for you. You would rather go over to the car, find the spark plug, and figure out how to do it just by doing it. And it's how you learn it, too. That's kind of the similar way. In my program, it's called You're Smarter Than You Think. We also look at how you process language. And this is my background is speech pathology. And one of the things that you do when you are in a learning situation, you are processing language. You're reading, you're listening, you're writing. All of that is language processing. And what I discovered early on in putting this thing together about 25 years ago is that everybody has a way that they prefer to process language. And some people are auditory, some are visual, and some are a combination. And the difference is really radical. What were your scores on that? Do you remember? You said you were auditory. Do you remember what your scores were?
Auditory was 9, visual was 7, and combination was 6.
Okay.
I don't know what
See,
all
now
that
this
means.
This is significant because when you hear it, you're getting 90% of the material. That's unbelievable. When you read it, you're getting 70%. And when you hear it and read it, you're getting 60%.
But,
so
you know, when you hear it, does that always mean you retain it? Because I can honestly tell you there's things I hear and 2 seconds
no,
later.
No.
So
I'm
that's
not
the same relationship,
I'm not
right?
saying that. What I'm saying is that you can't even begin to start to learn something if it doesn't get in and pass. Have you ever been introduced to somebody and you don't even remember their name? That you,
I don't
you
remember
know
their name when it comes
to...
off their lips.
Okay, all right.
Forget it.
Everybody's
it
had this experience. Everybody's had this experience. Okay.
Right.
So what happens is that the verbiage comes out of the other person's mouth, and it does not even get into the system at all. It's not received into the system at all. So if it's not received, it can't be processed.
Right.
It just can't be processed. So what we're talking about is that when you hear information, because you have an auditory score of 90, 90% of that information is coming into the system, and it is ready and willing to be processed and worked with. And some people, they have like 20% in some area and 10% in another area and then 90%. And it makes a huge difference. Knowing this information can change everything. It's a game changer. It really is.
You know, it's so funny you had said that because in my work, that is what I do, is 100% of my work with clients, being an advocate, is I say, I listen. That's it. Period. I listen. And that there's a period at the end of that sentence, you know. I can listen. So people are just able to release or say or do or whatever, but I will listen. And then you have to take it from there. What do you do with it? So how do students learn to take that now and do something with that?
Well, let's say that you're in a – you take this information and you apply it. Like, for example, one of my early students, she was auditory. She was very musical and very body kinesthetic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she put everything on a tape. She had anatomy and physiology test. She sat down at the piano. She could play without thinking. And so she was doing musical and body kinesthetic, and she was listening to music. She was listening to music, but she was listening to the anatomy and physiology stuff that she had to learn. She went through it one time, had her mom test her, and she remembered everything. So then she took the test the next day, and she got an A. And then a week later, she came up to me and said, you know, I still remember all that material. And, you know, anatomy and physiology is tough to learn.
Yeah, I only took it 4 times.
I know. It's, you know, it's just tough to hold on to. But also in a class, let's say that your instructor is linguistic and you're logical. You like things to be first, second, third, fourth. Okay, this linguistic person, they don't do that. They will give you a topic, and then they'll go off on a story and a tangent and whatever, and you get lost. So what we teach our students is that they start an outline. They know what the major headings are, and they can have these major headings on separate pieces of paper so that when the teacher gives the first major heading, they know what page to go to, and when she starts giving information, they can take notes underneath that heading. And then when she goes off on a story, they don't have to worry because as soon as she comes back to what she's talking about, she'll give another heading, and they'll go to that major heading, and they'll put the notes under that. So it keeps them very organized, and they don't get crazy when the instructor goes off on tangents.
Yeah.
That also happens in textbooks. Textbooks are written by linguistic people, and they're very disorganized.
Oh, goodness. You know, I think back on, you know, even with my radio show, and even my daughter will say, gosh, you're so random, you know. And the other day, you know, a really famous producer that I had on the show, she says, we were so around the topic, yet we always came back to the purpose. And that's truest. In other words, somewhere in the back of my head, I knew what I needed to the purpose or what our on focus was. I just went all the way around it, but we always came back to it, you know?
Well,
so
you know what's
interesting? I guess that was a perfect example of what you said, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're spatial too, and that's another clue is that spatial people, I'm spatial, and we're spatial together. And so, we simplify and we go all over the place, but we know where we are. We get ourselves back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think sometimes people like us, though, help others, and I'm sure you've had this with others before, is that if you're able to go around and be around the whole subject and have it out there in different ways, other people can learn from you. So really this book is great for teachers because if a teacher has the capability to be able to do that, go all the way around it and come all the way back, potentially they'll catch a few more students being able to understand the material eventually.
Exactly. And I want to say something about that. One of the reasons we created the online training is that this online training is something that any teacher in any classroom can assign their students as homework. It takes 2 hours to go through this online training. And when the student comes back the next day, you have empowered them. And you can say, okay, now, what is it that you need to do in order to encode my lecture today? And it changes the whole dynamic in the classroom. I've seen it, and I've experienced it personally. All of a sudden, the kids wake up. Instead of being half asleep, they get ignited.
You know, I think back on my own 4 kids, you know, all through school and everything, when my oldest used to be reading Stephen Hawking in second grade, in the middle of his vocabulary book, And they said, oh my, he'll have to go to third grade now. Then he got in third grade and he was doing the same trouble. Then he skipped second grade. He skipped fifth grade. Did the same thing in ninth grade, skipped ninth grade, went to college and says, oh my gosh, am I just too smart? You know, and we think, you know, goodness, but how did he apply it? He had all the brain mechanics, but applying it was where his loss was, you know, and being able to use that further. So we really think about, there's a whole lot of, quote, smart people, but they just can't get, you know, they're the type that can't fry an egg, you know. And then we get the other types, you know, that can fry eggs and can make souffles. But my goodness, if you ever ask them, you know, what do you do with your car, all the parts of your car, they might not know that. Renee? Oh, goodness, I think we lost Renee. Hello? Okay, well, maybe she'll call back in. So what we've been talking about is about the brain, about using your brain the way it was designed. And this is really vitally important because there's so many missing pieces that we want to success. We say, what is success? Is that having the big job? Is that having the big paycheck? Is that what's going on at the end of your life? And how important is that? But we really think about success could be raising children. Success could be having your car that runs every day. Success could be planting a great organic garden in the back and learning how to do CSA farming, community farming. So there's a lot of things out there that you could really learn and be able to pass on once you learn some of the tricks about how your brain works and how that is so, you know, you really need to learn a few tricks, because if you have a lot of things in your tool bag, then you're able to say, I figured this out, but I'm kind of, great, that's what we were doing. So we figure, you know,
yeah,
there's a lot of things in your tool bag.
Okay. Yeah, your tool bag. Yeah, Did you hear about the study?
No,
that was
you dropped
done?
Off. Mm-mm.
Okay, I dropped off. Okay, this study took all the bright kids around the country, gave them a test, not with the same problems, but with problems changed a little bit from where they were, and none of the kids could do the problems.
Mm.
And that tells. Dr. Gardner wrote it in his book, The Unschooled Mind, and he talks about how kids don't learn. And your son played the game real well. He knew how to play the game, but he didn't know how to learn.
Right, to apply.
And he is smart, and so are all the other kids in the class.
Absolutely. And, you know, we need to look at that, too. And when kids are told certain things, you're smart, and they feel like they're fighting uphill every day, or kids who say, you could tell them that they're not smart, and they're like, you just haven't appreciated me. You know, there's a lot of self-talk and back-talk and repeat talk that gets really ingrained into people's psyche at very young ages, and I think that plays out through your entire life. So your book is a great window into cracking that open and say, no, I'm not. It's time to stand up on my own 2 feet and say, no, I'm not. See, I can do it. And I think that's what your book is great for any age.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are thousands and thousands of people walking around this country that are saying to themselves, I'm stupid. There's just this little voice inside that they got from school, and I'm here to say you're not stupid and you can do something about it. And there was a friend of mine had a daughter that everybody was saying, oh, she's so smart, she's so smart. And when she was in third grade, they changed the way that they taught math. It became a spatial activity instead of a logical activity.
Mm-hmm.
And she could not do it. She could not do it. And her mom called me panicked because her daughter was failing math. All of a sudden, this bright girl was failing math.
Right.
And the only reason she couldn't do it is because it wasn't being introduced to her brain the way it was. Her brain was designed.
And I think to
and
be aware of that. Right, to be aware of that and to have this opened up to your realization really make your life a whole lot easier. I mean, I can remember physics. When I walked into my physics class in college, The guy that was the teacher, he had just quit his job because they closed the plant down. It was in Texas, and it was the electron bombardment thing. That's where he worked. And he's now my physics teacher in, I think it was my second or third physics class, right? And I'm thinking, oh, goodness, you know? Here's me who can barely even figure this stuff out. So we walk into the classroom, and, of course, the class starts out with, like, 30 kids because we all have to take physics for this certain degree, right? And he's got a problem that starts on the left-hand side. He started with a problem. He wrote it on the board. He had all these letters and arrows and all this other minutia all the way across the sideboard, all the way across the front, and all the way across the other side. And on the bottom it said the end. He says, that's how you're going to get to the answer. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. Immediately 10 people dropped out of the class because they could not even understand. It was sort of like going into a Greek class and you're only 2 years old. You know, not going to happen, you know. But that was a perfect example of not understanding.
That's the perfect example, and it's also the perfect example of a student feeling at the effect of the teacher.
Yes.
My granddaughter told me that she could only learn with a good teacher. That is tragic.
Yeah.
Tragic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You should be able to learn anywhere, and you should be able to be in a classroom and have an instructor try to scare you with that kind of crap. And you should be able to say, well, okay, let's use our brain correctly. He's trying to scare me off, but I'm not scared. Bring it on, buddy. I know how to learn.
And I think even when we get into these big jobs and these big professions that we don't lose how we used to learn. I know for myself, I've got big poster boards, and I looked at them the other day and I pulled them out, and I have like three or four books outlined or some ideas or stuff. And people looked at them like my kids are walking by, and my husband, he says, what the heck is that? Can't make nothing out of that. I don't even know what that stuff is. I said, but don't you see it? There's a core thing. And I said, and this one goes this way, but when you go that way, then it goes over here. But then you know it, then that one doesn't work, then you have to go over this way. And they're going, this person is crazy. This person is crazy. And how can you make any sense out of that? But I did make sense out of it, and it did work for me, and it does work. So for people to be able to learn these tools and use them in every way, hey, if you're a CEO of a company and you can be just as crazy as me on your own time, it doesn't matter as long as you still get to the back line, right? You get to where you need to go.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is I'm glad you brought up companies. Companies are spending millions of dollars every year to train their employees. And I know for a fact, because my cousin was a trainer, most of the employees do not know how to learn. You give them a workshop, and they cannot apply the material. And so then you have to spend additional money helping them learn how to apply what has been taught to them.
Correct.
And it's a total waste of money. No wonder products cost so much money. It's crazy.
You know, we get these seminars that say, we're going to teach you in the first half of the day, and at the second half we're going to do hands-on. And I'm going, you know, this whole thing was totally worthless to me. I didn't get a thing out of it. Just give me your flyer, and I'll get the gist, and I'm good to go. And see you later, you know.
Yeah.
So we think about, you know, so I think with your book, it's really simple that parents and teachers could grab your book. It's the manual. I mean, it's not like you've got 10,000 pages to read. You'll be done with this. I mean, I pretty much went through and did the test in maybe 15 minutes because I was kind of like, what the heck? I don't know. I don't get it. You know, that kind of thing. We always like to judge, and we always like to look it over. And then so it probably took me 20 minutes. And then I started reading the rest, and I said, oh, cool. Because I was intrigued
and
going someplace.
If you really want to have fun, do the online training. It takes 2 hours to go through it, and you'll have it, and you get to go back over it for a whole month. And it's fun. It is really fun, and it's fun to learn about yourself. It really is. So go
to
my website.
And it's not like it's scary, though, either, right?
No, it's not scary at all. The experience you'll have is, oh, yeah, I know that. I know that about myself. If you go to my website, there's two free downloads, and I don't keep track of who downloads anything, so you're free, it's totally free. The first one is Mistakes Parents Do Not Want to Make If They're Sending Their Child to College. And the other download is Living Your Life Not Knowing Your Brain Talents Is Disastrous. And they're not very long, and they're free downloads. Go to my website. You can see a trailer of the online program. You can read chapters of the book and get a flavor for what this is all about. But this is about giving a gift to yourself and your child.
So let's say to do the online training, what age group would you have to be in? And, like what age group would you say start with the book and the online training?
I think they have to at least be in junior high. And if they're in junior high, they're going to need some parent support. But definitely college, and definitely kids that are studying for the SATs. And there has to be, they have to know that this is about learning to learn. And this is a whole different thing than what most teachers require in the classroom.
Absolutely.
But if I was a parent, this is what I want to say to parents. I want to say, let's start the conversation. I would love for you to ask your child, do you know how to learn? They're going to look at you like you're from outer space. And I think this is a really important conversation that we need to start having with one another. And ask this simple question, do you know how to learn? Because when you ask that question, it turns it back on yourself and you have to go, whoa, you know, I really don't think I do. I really don't think I do know how to learn. I play at it, but maybe I don't really know how to learn. And it's a great conversation to have with your child. It's a really important conversation.
And don't you think that the parent... Go ahead.
If you're going to spend a small fortune sending your child to university, for heaven's sake, make sure they know how to learn. Ask them, are you learning? Don't let them memorize their way through. It's a waste of money, truly. I have friends who have, well, go ahead.
No, I don't think, though, so too, what you just said about them learning and retaining is because when parents will say, I had to do something with my kid in the summer so he would remember what he learned last year. Isn't that what you're saying exactly?
Probably, yes. That's true. And you know
because
what else?
Because they forget.
they forget. And you know, I have friends that have kids that have graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
The kids, when you ask them, what'd you get, you know, where are you, how is college, I didn't get a thing, I didn't learn a thing. And they are working at jobs below their level of potential. And it's sad.
Well, I have a question. Now, if a parent had some younger kids, couldn't a parent read this book, potentially adapt it to a younger child, because they could really say, I'm observing this in my child. I know I heard a conversation the other day with someone, and they were talking to their child, and they said, oh my goodness, it's time. Let's go learn how to play tennis. And the child saying, Mom, I really want to make some cookies. Or Mom, I really would rather just roll around the grass and smell flowers. And you think, they weren't really learning. They didn't want to learn a technique. They wanted to really just experience something else. So that, isn't that telling you that they're a different type learner?
Absolutely. But see, my program is not geared for that. If a parent does it with that in mind, they're going to have to use a lot of their own intelligence to apply it to their children.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it. But my experience has been is most people don't trust themselves enough to do that.
Right, right. Yeah.
And
trusting yourself
you have
is
to
so
have
hard.
A high level of self-trust. And it's true. But that's exactly what's going on. I mean, in an ideal world, we would be talking about this from age one. I mean, we would, you know, when I'm around my little cousins, I'm talking to people about their talents all the time. They must think I'm crazy. But I have a little cousin who last Thanksgiving was just two, and he was putting 10-word sentences together. I mean, he is the most linguistic child I have ever seen. And we were just, I was just amazed at it. And we were talking about it. So it's like nobody ever talks about brain talents with their kids, but when they're little tiny guys, it's really, really important. And I, you know, I was observing that he was pretty logical, but he's not very spatial. So, you know, he'll do good in school, but I don't know. I just think it's very important that we focus in on this. And the kid gravitates to linguistic, logical toys. He doesn't go to the, he's not really into the spatial stuff. He's not into the art, the color crayons, that kind of stuff.
Right. And, you know, that's such something that we say as parents, you know, if you're a parent and you've struggled with something all of your life, you may be turning around and teaching that same thing to your child, and then you'll both be at a default. So really, you know, parents, if you have got kids, do the program yourself and say, wow, I learned so much about myself, you know, let me observe the way I used to do things, the way I might do things now, and maybe potentially how I could help my children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you're walking around and you don't know what your brain talents are, you can't even be a really effective parent, because you're one of the things that we tend to do is that the way we were taught is how we teach. I had that experience. I was taught by linguistic people, and I used to teach linguistically, and I would come home exhausted and wonder, God, why do I feel this way? And then it hit me, oh, I am not linguistic. How can I make my classes more spatial and experiential? And once I did that, I started having fun, and it was great. It was wonderful.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's just a simple little key that's so easy, but it's yet so distant in people's ideas, you know, of how they can learn or what their brain might be capable of.
Absolutely. And it's like... It's like your blueprint, and we're walking around and we're not living from our blueprint at all.
Now, do you think that if I was a parent and I needed to know, do I need to know a lot? Do I need to be super intelligent myself to do this program with my child, or, you know, is this a common program and, you know, everybody should be able to understand what you're talking about? In other words, you don't go through and use big words that people should be shying away from.
Do you think I use big words? I'm spatial.
Nope.
I do have an editor who is linguistic, but
I mean,
do I use big words in that book? I don't think so.
No.
And I talk pretty simply. I think people understand me. And I do the online training. It's, you know, I'm the main speaker in it. There's all kinds of other things that we add, games and videos and all kinds of stuff. I feel like I was true to myself. I felt like I was true to myself when I read the book, when I wrote the book. I have an editor who cleans up my language so that it's more standardized. And then I tried to do the online training so that it was very experiential. And so I feel like I've been really true to myself when I've communicated to the world.
It's a good book. It's great because, you know, someone can read that and you don't have to have a college degree to say, I'm going to do something about my brain. Are you kidding me? A lot of people shy away from that, especially the ones who have just barely graduated high school. And we have to remember that too. You know, granted, we are older, but we have to say, did everybody go to college? No. You know, and
no.
A lot of people, even getting out of high school these days, ask them to sit down and write a paragraph or a story, and they're like, no, wait, not going to happen, you know, because they can't do it. So really it is across the board, and I really think this manual and your online course would be great for almost any age.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a bunch of people wandering around. There's a statistic that has been kept for 100 years, and in the United States, 50% of the people who entered college as a freshman never graduated.
Absolutely.
So there's 50% of those people who wanted to get a college degree that are walking around life probably feeling less than intelligent. And this is a way to give yourself a pat on the back and feel differently about yourself. Live
Absolutely.
Your life as though it was rigged for you. Rumi. I love that quote.
And also, too, when you have more than two children, you can always find that more, those kids might, like I have four, and I can tell you they are so individual that not one has a characteristic of the other, you know? So trying to do that, I wouldn't want to be their teacher in the same class because it would be a nightmare. But, you know, you have to notice that, that it's definitely the way that how kids learn, how kids teach, and how they learn things when they're older and how they teach their own children. So it is something that you can do at all ages. You know, Renee, we burned through this hour really fast. If you could give our listeners some information about your book, the name, the title, and your website, and any events and your online course, that would be wonderful.
Okay. The website is youaresmarterthanyouthink.com. youaresmarterthanyouthink.com. And it's on that website that you will find information on the book, the online training, how to order it. If you're at Amazon, the book is at Amazon. Can't even talk. and there's... If you're an instructor or an administrator, my phone number and my email's on there. Give me a call. Let's see what we can do with your schools. I'm here to inspire individuals and out of that make a difference. So that's what I'm about.
Yeah, and to be able to stand up and say, hey, let's try something different and not be afraid, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, fear keeps people so locked up that they just don't get anywhere. And this is totally a non-fear-based project. This is great to try and be able to see how you can move forward. So, Renee, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a joy. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
Thank you, too. And if you'd like more information about Renee, her link is on the bottom of today's show page. You can click directly there to her website, where she does have more information about purchasing her book. Also be able to find out some other tips there and also to find out about her online course. Please do take it, you know, a step and say, I'm going to do something about this, you know? Or, hey, maybe that sounds really interesting. Or, hey, maybe my teacher needs this help. I can give this book to my teacher for Christmas. You just never know. So thank you so much for being with us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher for Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and please do click on our links and check out our other shows that are all archived also on iTunes. Thank you and have such a great day.